The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Fast love professional, crafty, bold, and beautiful. Stage right, lock eyes, I swear it's magical. Her name is Melanie, says she digs my melodies. Likes how I move, thinks I'm cool, that's what she says to me.
Welcome to End of the Bench with your host, Tony Bowie. Tony is ready to talk about sports with you as a former NFL player, but he's also ready to talk business and politics with you as a current entrepreneur and political candidate. Everything comes to the table on this show. Now, here's your host, Tony Bowie.
Welcome to another show, another segment of End of the Bench. I've been away for a while. I took a little hiatus, but now I'm back. I took a job as a graduate assistant at the University of Akron in Akron, Ohio, in the MAC conference. And so I've been there preparing for actually going through summer ball, spring ball, and preparing for the summer for these kids, and then going into next year. We have our first game against the Ohio State University. At the Big House, I believe it's September 3rd, and with all the goings on at Ohio State, I think they're in a little bit of trouble there. And you know, let's talk real quick about that. One of the issues there is obviously what's going on with Coach Tressel. There was the four players who were suspended because they were selling items and receiving benefits, tattoos, those kind of things from a parlor. And then it subsequently came out later that the problem was bigger than what they had previously discovered. So now you have, it'll probably be a larger issue. You had kids that were obviously selling pants and their gold pants, whatever they had, and rings and getting free tattoos. And then as well, there was a report that came out just recently that one of the players previously had actually gotten a vehicle, roughly $2,300, a used vehicle, that was bought by the parlor owner, the tattoo parlor owner, in exchange for whether it was a ring, the championship ring, or some pants, or so on and so forth. And the whole should players be able to do that with their own things issue was a separate deal, but we're strictly talking about the violations that occurred as of the rules now with the NCAA. And then what Coach Tressel, has reportedly covered up. So we had those players that went through some problems. They didn't get suspended for the bowl game, but they were suspended for the first four or five games of this coming year. And then Tressel gets in trouble by covering up and not reporting and being untruthful. And I believe there's some, kind of housekeeping, end of the year housekeeping deals where you sign a piece of paper saying, that at the university saying that you didn't know of any violations of your players. And apparently he signed that. And the records show that he did know that there were some issues with Terrell Pryor and some other players because he had contacted Terrell Pryor's, somebody that he knew that had some influence over the young man, and now he was suspended for three games, and he did a self-imposed additional two, I believe, to add up to equal what the players had done. It's a sticky situation, and as an opponent, as I guess is now in the industry or beginning in the industry. I think it's, you know, it's important for me to be truthful and upfront about what your players go through, because there is a fiduciary responsibility that that coaches have to the university and to the players that they recruit, that they coach, that they bring into the program to represent the university and the athletic program. So Coach Tressel has, you know, gone by the wayside and been untruthful to some degree, and is now suffering the consequences. There are many people that are saying that he may not make it, that he will eventually be, he'll either resign or he'll be suspended for a significant amount of time beyond what he's already banned, or just outright fired. The University of Akron, where I coach, we play Ohio State the first game of the year, and there will be a big hubbub about the beginning of the season and what's going on in Ohio State and how they're responding to the adversity internally and externally. And remember back when there was last year, the year before, Appalachian State went up opener and beat Michigan. In our opinion, you know, we were preparing our players to peak at that game, so we can come out the gate strong. I don't know if that's a win or not, but I know that we will be prepared as a team, as coaches, as players, to do our best. And what they have is, you know, they have some players that are suspended. They have coach will be gone. They'll have the intense media scrutiny that will be blazing on the program. And I assume the game will be nationally televised. So you never know what's going to happen. We could come out the gates. We could do some interesting things. And we're going to do our best to give them a run for their money. But ultimately, there's rumors about Urban Meyer and will he be the next coach and how will they handle it if Tressel is suspended longer or won't be there, who will be the interim coach in the length of the season. Will Urban Meyer be the next coach? And you know, obviously he had to take some time away because he was stressed out. There was burnout, I guess, in his regard. So he has gone into television. It's going to be a very interesting year in the Big Ten with Brady Hoke being in Michigan, with the Ohio State issue. Michigan State is always a good team, has been. You know, you have the new coach at Minnesota who came from Northern Illinois, a very, very, very good coach. He is going to do some interesting things there. It's not cut and dry on who is the real, clubhouse leader, I guess, coming out of the gate in the Big Ten or the Big 12 or whatever it is now, the Legends and the Leaders conferences. But, you know, that's college football. College football is, you throw it out there every you know, Saturday, somebody could be somebody else, and Appalachian State can be Michigan, you know, there are all kinds of scenarios that could happen. So let's move on away from Ohio State and Jim Tressel and talk about this NFL deal. I mean, obviously there's a lot of, angst. There's a lot of legal maneuvering going on between the NFL Players Trade Association and the NFL itself. Roger Goodell just came out today and said he was disappointed that there aren't current CBA negotiations going on. But, you know, sitting on the board, we sit back and there's a lot of things that are going on legally that, you know, we just let the legal course take place. There's the Judge Nelson will ruled and now the Eighth Circuit is coming in and they'll hopefully come up with a with their stay or non-stay sometime in July. June 3rd, June 6th, I believe, is a hearing date where they'll hear from each side's attorneys, and it will be a star-studded cast on both sides, determining, you know what's going to be said to those to the three judge panel, and we'll see. It's an interesting story. It affects not only the players that are in the game now. It affects retired players. It affects the owners, and it affects a lot of fans and businesses that surround these stadiums that need that game, that match to go on to be able to sustain their businesses. So there's a lot at stake going forward, and any prolonged lockout only hurts not only owners and players, but also the fans and all the businesses that surround that are ancillary feeders off of the game itself, the National Football League. I read an interesting story this morning about Brett Favre wanting to get into coaching and doing some TV work. And if anybody out there has any opinions on that, you can call in and give your opinion at 888-346-9144. Again, that number to call in and ask questions or comments, give comments, is 888-346-9144. And it's an interesting, short snippet about Brett Favre on ESPN.com. And you can go there, and it's from the Associated Press. And it says, Brett Favre says he might want to become a coach or work as a television analyst in the future, although he has no plans to do either anytime soon. And we all know that, he unceremoniously ended his career and had this Jen Sturger thing in the pictures. And I was actually sitting on a plane yesterday, the day before, coming to Arizona, and there was a young lady who was sitting in the middle seat behind me, who was talking to the two gentlemen on the sides of her, saying she was a Packer fan and loved Brett Favre, but was just tired of his waffling, and basically said he could have retired earlier and been the icon of the NFL, been the statue of quarterbacks of all time. And what he's done is he's going to retire, in her words, a dirty old man. And I sat there as a former player, as a fan, as a board member of the Players Association, and thought, this is what the normal fan probably thinks about what went on with Brett Favre, and how he has ended his career and what his legacy will be going forward. And I think over time, the Jen Sturger thing will dissipate, and his records, his numbers, his touchdowns, heck, and even his interceptions will come to the forefront, and that's what he'll be remembered for. But I think in the interim, he is going to suffer the consequences in some ill-fated decisions that he made later on in his career. So let's go to break. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk a little bit more of the NFL, and we'll get into the NCAA playoff system. But don't go away. We'll be right back on the Voice America Sports Network. I'm your host, Tony Bowie, and this is The End of the Bench.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Tired of the same mundane talk radio show, boring opinions, and people not knowing or telling the truth? Tune into The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. This show is brought to you by two men who know the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional sports. Josh and Otis's experience and careers in the NFL give them access to the inside information and a reason to have a candid opinion. Tune into the Voice America Sports Channel Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific. The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. It's more than sports talk. It's a way of life.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional, take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This is End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Whatever you want to talk about, Tony's ready to discuss. Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to swoopcup@gmail.com. Now, back to Tony Bowie and End of the Bench.
Welcome back to End of the Bench. I'm your host, Tony Bowie. We are back on the Voice America Sports Network. I've got some people that may be calling in. We'll talk a little bit about MAC football, Big Ten football, if they're able to call in. In a few minutes. And don't forget that number is 888-346-9144. Looks like we just had somebody call in. And we'll see if they... Okay. I guess not. We'll see if we can get somebody to call in a minute. But let's get back to the NCAA. Many people don't understand that the NCAA is an organization that is obviously built made up of college universities across the country, and its main goal is to promote athletics and student athletes and school and promote the schools that are part of it. And there are different levels. There's NAIA, there's which I think is a different organization, but there's Division I, Division II, Division III, and there's obviously been issue with the system that is constructed for the bowl system, the BCS system, and does it lock out non-automatic qualifying schools and put them at a disadvantage in being invited to these top-tier bowls? There was some information that came out yesterday, the day before, that Orrin Hatch, a senator from Utah, who was at a Senate hearing and had at Eric Holder, who was on the stand, and Senator Hatch had brought up, you know, we really need to do something about this and make sure that you continue to look into it. And Eric Holder had mentioned that they had actually sent a letter, the Justice Department has sent a letter to the NCAA wanting clarification on some of their issues and how they put together the system and how they determine who is going to be the champions and why hadn't they done a playoff system, and is there anything that they are doing currently to move towards a playoff system instead of the BCS system that's currently in place. And I read a response that Emmert had said that, you know, their membership hasn't actually pushed in that direction, but if they wanted to push in that direction, he would acquiesce to their, you know, to their wishes and try to move towards a playoff system in the NFL. Excuse me, the NCAA. Looks like we have a caller. Is it John? John, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today, Mr. Bowie?
I'm doing good. Doing good. What you got on your mind, John?
We want to talk a little bit about the if the BCS or college football does this playoff system, What does that do for, like, the smaller conference schools, like, say, the MAC out here back east in the Midwest?
That's a good question. And that sounds like Matt back there.
It might be Matt from Ohio.
Yeah, so Matt from Ohio and John from Ohio.
No, it's John from Washington.
John from Washington. Okay, all right. Well,
bow down.
It's an interesting question because what I think it does is if you move towards a playoff system, you have to have some avenue where there's going to be a lot of players who decide, a lot of people who decide who's going to be an automatic qualifier. And if you, in my mind, it has to be the major conferences that will be in this playoff system, as well as a few others, maybe the MAC, and then there would be maybe a one or two other teams that would be in maybe a 16-team playoff. So you have the major conferences, you have a few of the minors, and then you have some wild cards, so to speak, that would be asked to come into this playoff system who had great years but aren't in a top-tier conference.
Right. So that'd be very similar to, like, the number two team from the the Pac-10, like Colorado, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about whoever would be the championship winner of the Pac-12 conference, maybe the loser of the conference goes. You know, they have one loss. Maybe that's their loss in the championship game. You would think that them kind of rolling through that conference and being in the conference championship game in the Pac-12 would garner them attention and being one of the additional invites.
Hey, Tony, Matt from Colorado would like to ask you a question right now.
All right, Matt.
How you doing, Tony?
Good, good.
How's things going?
Things are great. Things are great.
What do you think about Colorado and how they're going to do in the Pac-12?
You know, it's interesting. I think Colorado is obviously new to the Pac-12. You got Utah and Colorado that are coming in. They're going to be really unfamiliar with – you know, the coaching style, the kind of players that are in the conference. I think first year they'll be, you know, kind of feeling it out. Facility wise, they have good facilities, but you know, you see the cows of the league. You know, the USC's, even Arizona is discussing building a new stadium or upgrading their stadium. And I think Colorado, if they want to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, we'll eventually have to do that, but if you look at the new conference that the new contract that they have with the television and their new Pac-12, I mean they'll have a lot of money to be able to reinvest into their facilities and become more like a lot of the other schools in the Pac-12.
Good point.
Is that a homer, Tony? This is Danny from Cincinnati. Is that a homer pick talking about Arizona upgrading their facilities?
I love Arizona, U of A, bear down. You know, I bleed red and blue, always will. But I know firsthand that they are that they've raised a lot of money initially, and they're looking for matching funds right now to build a new locker room and facility, end zone, scoreboard, all those things to try to.
Will there be a Tony Bowie room, like a Tony Bowie DB's room, or Tony Bowie bathroom stall? I mean, is there naming rights being sold?
Yeah. I'm going to take the third urinal in the locker room, and that's only like $20.
$20.
Yeah. So
final question.
I've got that.
One final question. There's been words speculating that there's a on YouTube. There's a video called Unbearable been going around. You know anything about that?
I have no clue what you're talking about, and. One day I'm sure there'll be some documentaries going on that will be very, very funny.
I do have one final question. With the playoff expansion for the BCS and non-BCS programs, do you see that there would be a more money to the programs and then thus a increase in the salary pool for lower than assistants like GAs?
You know, there's a big problem in my opinion with the NCAA and how it regards the GA situation. And actually, I just got an email from Mark, and if you remember, quarterback from Washington and the Raiders, Marquise Tuiasosopo.
Mark, yes, I do.
And
got
an email from him yesterday, and he's actually trying to become a GA at UCLA and is going through some of the same issues that I had gone through and want to talk. So I, in the very near future, I'll have a conversation with him about that. But for those of you who don't know, the NCAA came out with a rule that was implemented this past summer where if you want to be a graduate assistant, a GA, at a NCAA school, you had to meet certain requirements. And one of those was you had to be within 7 years of your first degree. And I believe you have to have no previous coaching experience or so on and so forth. But the big stickler was that you had to be within 7 years of your first undergraduate degree, which in my opinion excludes a lot of people who want to get into the college profession and have done other things in their life. They've, you know, whether it's a guy who's played in the NFL who may have played, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years and now is out beyond their 7 year window, or maybe it's someone who was a high school coach that that has coached high school and now wants to get into college but can't be a GA, which is the entry level position in college, because he is now 7 years removed from his degree. It excludes a lot of people who want to become coaches at the college level, and I think the intention of the rule was to keep coaches who are currently in college coaching as a full-time coach from being fired somewhere or moving to another school and stepping back and being a graduate assistant with all that wealth of experience and actually being, you know, a real coach. And they had that problem, and they passed this rule to kind of mitigate those issues. But in doing so, they have restricted or locked out people who have done other things in life, and tried to become a college coach later on. And I think that's not the intent. And so I'm in the process of trying to get a waiver for that rule. And apparently there are other people who are trying to become graduate assistants, like Marquise Tuiasopo. There's Charles Mincy, who played at the University of Washington as well, who I played with in the NFL, who is trying to do the same thing, but don't meet that requirement, which is within 7 years of your undergraduate degree. So we'll see how that goes. I think eventually they'll change the rule, they'll tweak it, so that they'll have, you know, guys who are in my situation and maybe Marquise's situation or Charles' situation that can get an easier waiver into becoming a coach. Looks like those guys dropped off. We've got doesn't look like we have any more calls right now. One of the callers brought up an interesting question that was about Colorado and how will they fare coming into new conference. And being involved in the profession now, it is a very, very, very small world. And it's not like you can, you know, send your resume in and, oh, yeah, I want to, you know, be the defensive back coach at wherever, and just send your resume in and not know anybody. I mean, it is really a who-you-know industry, an industry where a recommendation goes a long way. You will never, in my opinion, see a head coach or offensive or defense coordinator hire someone who they had never met, who they just got a resume from, and didn't receive a call from a colleague or a peer or someone they know vouching for whoever they're thinking about hiring. Well, let's go for another break. We'll take our second big break, pay some bills. We'll be right back on the other bench. This is the Voice America Sports Network, and I'm your host, Tony Bowie.
A beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes O'Neal. He's
tough
at the
shot shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
This is End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Whatever you want to talk about, Tony's ready to discuss. Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to swoopcup@gmail.com. Now, back to Tony Bowie and End of the Bench.
Grab your water bottle and your wet towel. We're under the bench, and it's hot. It's hot on the end of the bench. So let's now that I've been at the University of Akron for since January for for so many months, I'm really getting a look inside of the functioning of a program, and it's quite apparent to me that there's probably no football program in America, and maybe in particularly a Division I school, because that's kind of what I'm dealing with now, that any program runs effectively without the what I call the engine, which are the graduate assistants and the student assistants of the program. Literally, if student assistants or graduate assistants didn't show up, they wouldn't be able to do their jobs. And I'm talking full-time coaches. There would be so many holes in the process of running a program that it would literally screech to a halt. The interesting thing is that graduate assistants, not only, in my opinion, will synthesize the data that that coaches need to prepare and help prepare for practicing games, but they are essentially the the engines inside the program and out. And by that, what do I mean? I'm not only talking about being able to break down film, being able to take the terminology of the head coach and propagate that amongst the the systems internally, but we're talking about I need to get my car washed. And, the tires on my car that the university provides me are running low, and the graduate assistant takes the car to the auto dealership and they get the tires repaired and so on and so forth. There, not only are graduate assistants doing all of the behind-the-scenes work with preparing coaches and giving them the right information to make good decisions during the game, but they are also taking care of some of the off-the-field issues of the full-time coaches, which, in my opinion, is not the place for a graduate assistant. These full-time coaches are you know, coming, and this is my opinion, coming from outside of the profession, being in the corporate world, being an entrepreneur, running my own business, building something from scratch, in my opinion, full-time coaches need to be more self-sufficient in their own job function rather than depending on the graduate assistants who work for them in the university. The funny thing is that that the graduate assistants come and go every, you know, 2, maybe 3 years. So there is a sense of a graduate assistant wanting to do everything he can to be in the good graces of the full-time coaches. And many times that means, you know, head coach says, or excuse me, not head coach, but a position coach says, hey, you know, go to the store down the street and, you know, grab some jelly beans or some sunflower seeds for the, you know, for the staff room or for me personally. And the graduate assistant will run off and do that. Or, you know, I need to get my car washed. Will you go get my car washed for me? Where, in my opinion, these are grown men who have the ability to be self-sufficient, do these things themselves. There's plenty of time in the day for these gentlemen and ladies, maybe in some university, to be able to be self-sufficient in doing those mundane things themselves, while these student assistants, graduate assistants, prepare the, in my opinion, what they're called to do, which is synthesize data and provide, you know, whatever the coach needs as far as the football aspect goes. But I think over a period of time, the history of the industry, there has been that part of it where full-time coaches treat graduate assistants, student assistants a certain way. And maybe it will take, you know, a certain type of coach, a new breed of individual coming up in the profession to weed that, in my opinion, weed that mentality out of the profession. Because if you go into the corporate world and I'm a manager of a department, or I'm what I used to be, the district manager for Circle K, and I ran the west side of Phoenix for Circle K, I didn't tell my store managers, hey, you know, can you go get my car washed for me? Or, you know, can you go get me some sunflower seeds so I can have them in my car as I'm driving around to the various stores that I have in my district? You just didn't do that. That's not, you know, in my opinion, that's not the type of leadership that someone should have over a subordinate. You ask them to do very specific things related to their job. And I think as I grow in this profession, as I move up wherever I am, treating people with the utmost respect, no matter who they are or what position they hold or what title they have, or what their job responsibility is, will be paramount, because I think that always comes back to you. That always is ultimately, you know, brought back to you reciprocally in some way, whether it's how they treat you, or whether they will go the extra mile on their own without having you to ask them, is the way I think I will, in my own opinion, you know, treat the individuals that I will be overseeing or whatever. Another interesting aspect of coaching that I'm really found interesting is the fact that these are college students that are going through growing stages and growing pains in their life and making some very interesting and sometimes bad decisions. And as a coach slash mentor slash university athletic department employee, you have very certain responsibilities in trying to steer your players in the right direction. As a head coach, I can see now how you want to try to mitigate problems in your program. How do you do that? How do you get in front of those situations? Is it, maybe it's sensitivity training early on for players who are coming in. Maybe it's some type of life trainings to come down. Maybe it's some things like that. And I think there's it's very interesting. There's a lot of responsibility that coaches have in trying to be the CEOs of their athletic department. They're doing a tremendous job around the country, and I think it's a very interesting profession where the public eye is always on you, and how you perform is really dependent on young men who are going through a certain stage of their life from 18 to 21, 22 years old, and how can you mentor them? How can you, guide them and win games? Because ultimately, this is a profession that is about what have you done for me lately? How do you steer young men into the right direction? How do you set your program up where you are constantly bringing players into your student athletes, into your program that will represent your university in the best light, but also bringing that apex player physically to be able to compete on the field? And every week, we sit there and we decide, how the practice plan goes. How do you, what types of things do you practice in the short period of time that you're given per NCAA rules, and trying to get your student athletes the mental memory, the muscle memory, so that they can carry that into a game situation and be successful. It's a very interesting way on how to, structure not only your in-season program, and by that I mean how you are practicing minute by minute, what you're doing hour by hour while you're not on the field, actually preparing for those minute by minute situations in practice. Because when you're in practice, it is, and I've seen it now on this side as well, you are, it's an up-tempo. And everyone is, anywhere around the country, is talking about the tempo of their practice. Are they walking in practice? Are they walk from drill to drill? How intense is it from a coach's perspective, and how is that received from the athlete's perspective? And just like in any other profession, when you are training someone or mentoring someone or giving someone else direction that is a subordinate to you, not everyone responds to the same motivation. Not everyone responds to the same coaching style, whether it's a more cooperative style or whether it's a command style coaching that you have. How do they respond individually to the coaching that you give them? And every player is different. And I believe the good coaches are able to determine how to coach each person, each player individually in the scope of a team in order to get the most out of that particular player, in order for that player to get to his ultimate potential. And over a period of time, I think those type of coaches rise to the top. Those type of coaches become head coaches. Those type of coaches become conference champions. Those type of coaches become national champions, coaches that can get the most out of their players in the most difficult situations. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We've got one more segment. I'm your host, Tony Bouye. We're on the End of the Bench on the Voice America Sport Network.
Your
internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters. We some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are, in the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
This is End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Whatever you want to talk about, Tony's ready to discuss. Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to swoopcup@gmail.com. Now, back to Tony Bowie and End of the Bench.
Welcome back to our last segment on the End of the Bench. Thank you for hanging on to the end. I'm your host, Tony Bowie, on the Voice America Sports Network. Don't forget, you can call in. It's our last segment, but you can call in 888-346-9144. Again, that's 888-346-9144. And I'm going to go back, you know, and just finishing up some thoughts on kind of what I'm seeing. The coach profession is really interesting. The responsibilities of a head coach, of a position coach, are enormous. Not only because of, you know, right now, and I guess it has been for some time, it's been a what have you done for me lately business. How many wins do you have? What's your plan kind of business? But it is a business that is that the results in your job, I guess, so to speak, is determined on young men anywhere from 18 to 21, 22 years old. So it all comes down to recruiting. I mean, you can have the best scheme in the world. You can, practice is, you know, the most up-tempo practice you can, get the best out of your players. But if you don't have the talent to compete against your opponents, it many times is extremely difficult to win, and therein lies the problem. Therein lies the ultimate recruiting conundrum. You know, you're not only looking for players who obviously can qualify academically at whatever university you are at, and standards vary from university to university, but you're also looking for players that fit the profile that you have, so to speak, of the type of players you're looking for athletically. You may be looking for, at a particular position, a guy who's no shorter than 6'2 and no lighter than 260. I don't know, whatever position that is. But you've got to be able to find that particular student athlete in high school, cultivate those relationships, and ultimately get that particular player to choose you, choose your university, choose your program over 119 others, or even greater, because they're obviously Division I, Division II, and Division III schools, as well as NAIA, and JCs as well, I guess, for kids who don't academically qualify. So in my opinion, the recruiting aspect college coaching, and like I said, I'm new at this, but the recruiting process, your plan on how you recruit, who you recruit, where you recruit, the relationship you're trying to cultivate, is ultimately going to make you or break you. And these days, you only get so many years to get your players in to start winning games. And some coaches may take shortcuts in getting JC guys. Some coaches may build from the ground up and concentrate on high school kids and just fill in those holes where you can't find particular high school kids, and you may do it that way. So there is a strategy on how to recruit for your college, and every coach who is going to make certain decisions and determinations on how they recruit, where they recruit. I'm sure there are universities that concentrate solely on Southern California, some universities that concentrate solely on Florida or Texas, some schools that concentrate solely on Ohio or Michigan or wherever their particular school is at, and then kind of trickle in if they can't find a particular student athlete that fits what they're doing. They'll go outside of what their core is. So there may be maybe Florida, who really concentrates on Florida, maybe North Florida, South Florida, may go outside of Florida every now and then because they see a talent that fits their whatever they're doing, so on and so forth. So it's an interesting part of the industry. There are so many rules that the NCAA puts on coaches, on how many times you can contact a player or how many times you can go to the school and what you can do. And you can't watch a kid at a track meet if there's other kids who you may be recruiting that are in the track meet, and you can only watch that particular heat. There's all these rules that I think make it inevitable that almost every university is breaking a rule. And it's just, when will they get caught? I had a good friend of mine come in, David Lockhart. We played together at the University of Arizona. And David is a lawyer here in Phoenix, Arizona. He has his own show as well. He's on the Gridiron, Planet Gridiron, with Damian Anderson. They come on at noon in a few minutes. Welcome to the show. There are so many rules in the NCAA about recruiting, that every, like I said, everybody's breaking a rule here and there.
Sure.
And it's the compliance department's job, mm-hmm, to try to put all those processes in place where you can try to mitigate that problem. And right now, who is it? It's
Boise State.
Boise State is, sure, going through a whole lot of trouble.
But it seems like the impact or the primary violator was the women's tennis team. Now, how does that have any implication? I don't understand the play or the interplay between the tennis team and now self-imposed sanctions that the football team is imposed on themselves. Because I'm like, what did they do? How is that so intertwined that now we have, again, a separate and distinct sport engaging in technically what, secondary violations?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now being imputed upon the football team. I don't get that.
And I think what it comes out, they're taken as an umbrella situation where they had major violations in tennis, they had secondary violations in other sports, and they're saying it's a lack of institutional control.
And you do not want to hear that.
No. I mean, that brings down the hammer on everybody in the program. The athletic director is probably, shaking in his boots about his own job. And every coach in that program is trying to figure out, do I have violations and how can I mitigate those problems going forward? So, we've only got 2 minutes to close, but, there's, like I said, there's some situations in the NCAA that I think they bring upon themselves because of the amount of legislation that is imposed on every university that's involved in the NCAA.
And also encompassing that, though, if you think about the actual punishment for secondary violations, it's not much. So it gives you the incentive as a coach to go out, let's say, under your example, you have a kid that you're recruiting and he now runs track and you want to go to the track meet, but it may be a violation if you stay beyond the heat where you might want to take a look at another kid or just for whatever reason. Well, if you self-report that and basically say, oh, I didn't know, there's really nothing going to happen to you because it's such a minor infraction. Yeah. So if there's not going to be any punitive measure that's going to be enforced because of the secondary violation, then why do we have them?
Yeah, I agree.
Why do you have it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting, and I'm sure you touched on it, so forgive me, listeners out there, is lack of institutional control can be at least thrown out toward Boise State. What is going to happen with respect to Ohio State?
Yeah, that's a whole nother ball of wax. And I tell you what, and I was talking about this earlier, there are many people saying that he may, Trussell may not weather the storm.
He shouldn't weather the storm if you look at precedent. If you can take Des Bryant's season away from him, and he just lied about having a dinner, which really maybe all he had to do was pay the dinner back, okay? And if he lied about that and lost the season, this is a guy, Trussell, who knew these people were ineligible, knew it, and put them out there anyway and didn't contact NCAA. And then when was contacted, what did he do? He lied.
Yeah, there's
there you have it.
Yeah. I mean, being in the profession, I hate to see it, happen to him. And it's up to the powers to be now. So
go back in his history at Youngstown. You could hear chirping back then. This guy is not what he presents himself to be. He's an also-ran and everybody else. And frankly, the pressures of having to win 10 games, being a BCS eligible and winning Ohio State, essentially that pressure and that crucible makes you act like that. It's not an excuse, but it definitely gives you an explanation as to what goes on.
Yeah. I agree. Well, thank you for coming in and hanging out with me, D-Lock. Thank you for all my listeners out there for coming in to the end of the bench. We'll be back pretty soon. This is the last segment. But don't go away. We'll be back next week on the end of the bench on the Voice America Sports Network. I'm your host, Tony Bowie.
And all you lovely mothers out there, have a wonderful and happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to my mom and my beautiful wife.
Thanks for tuning in this week. End of the Bench with Tony Bowie is live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's time for the weekend. Have a great one. Oh.